The following audio is from Fathom Church in Littleton, Colorado. More information about Fathom can be found at fathomchurch.org.
If you've got your Bibles, and I hope that you do, please open them up to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 is where we're going to be. You can open your phone, though I think it's better for you to read from paper. You can open your scripture guide if you have one of those, or if you borrowed one of our hardback black Bibles on the ledges, you can find Romans chapter 3 on page 940. 940 is where we're going to be, but Romans 3. If you've been with us, the book of Romans, really the first three chapters, most of the first three chapters, Paul is trying to explain what's wrong with the world. I mean, that's really the first three chapters. If you want to sum it up, it's what's wrong with the world and what is wrong with us. And that took us about 10 weeks to get through. I mean, really, it was about our first 10 sermons in this series. We were just trying to ask the question, what's wrong with us? What is wrong? And the short answer that we came to is that we are all alike under sin. Sin is the big issue. And that took me like 7 hours of preaching to get through. I mean, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry, okay? Because it was a lot of talking about judgment and sin. But the idea there is that we all fall short. We all miss the mark that God has set for us. We all have a sin nature that separates us from the God who created us, and that's the problem. That's our problem. That's the problem of the world. But then last week, we turned a corner. Finally, we turned this corner with two little words in the text, and those words were, but now. But now, a way to be made right before God has been provided. That's what we saw last week. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God has provided a way for sinful human beings to be made right. And the word that we talked about was the word justification. To be made right before God is to be justified. Justified by faith alone in Christ alone. And so now Paul, in Romans, the very end of chapter 3 and then into 4 and following, Paul is going to start working through some of the implications of this doctrine of justification by faith. He's going to bring us some implications of that. And today he's going to start with the topic of boasting. Boasting is what we're going to be talking about today in our sermon. That's the theme. Boasting is the theme of our sermon. Actually, I have this on a slide, Emma, if you want to put this up on a slide. Boasting. This is what we're going to be talking about today is boasting. Now, boasting, if you know your New Testament, it's a theme we find there. But if you know your Old Testament, it's also a theme in the Old Testament. Boasting is a theme found all throughout the scriptures, especially in Paul's writings. And the idea of boasting, we have to understand what it meant to them. I've said this a number of times. The things in the Bible, they cannot mean for us what they did not mean for them. That's where we get off kilter a lot. And so what did boasting mean back in the New, Old and New Testament? Well, let me give you an example here. The idea of boasting is a prevalent idea both in biblical literature and extra-biblical literature in the ancient world. And in the ancient times, boasting was ritualistic. Okay, there were what are known as ritualistic boasts. So here's the example that I have. There's a scene in one of the greatest movies of all time, which is Braveheart, okay? Ladies, are you chuckling at that? That I think that? Of course he would talk about that movie. Hey, listen, ladies, if we have to keep watching your PBS time period pieces with the same seven actors doing the same plot every single time, like, then you can handle a little William Wallace every once in a while, okay? So just stay with me here, okay? In the movie Braveheart, remember Braveheart? Seen this movie? Okay. There's a moment before what's called the Battle of Stirling Bridge, and it's the moment that you know. Okay, you know this moment in this movie if you've seen it. Here's William Wallace, okay? William Wallace and his boys show up, blue faces, painted blue. You've seen them, okay? You've seen this, and they roll up onto the field, and then William Wallace gets off, and he gives his big speech, the big moment, right? You remember this? They may take our lives, but they will never take our freedom, right? It's the moment, okay? That's the moment. Listen, that's boasting. That's boasting. That's also, I've also given every single man in this room permission after the Broncos game to watch that, okay? You're going to need it, okay? You're just going to need that. I know what you're going to be watching after. Ritualistic boasting. That's a ritualistic boast, okay? And in ancient cultures, it was a part of warfare. A ritualistic boast was a part of warfare. I mean, how do you get a group of soldiers to charge with all their might and with all their passion into overwhelming odds, likely to their death? How do you do that? You do it with a ritual boast, a ritualistic boast. And this has been practiced, friends, throughout history. You can read about it in Shakespeare. You can read about it in historical documents. Ritualistic boasts have been practiced always throughout history, where the king or the general would say some words to stir up the passions of the fighting men. We're going to do this. We're going to charge this. We have what it takes to win the battle. Let's go and defeat the enemy. That's a ritualistic boast. And if you've seen the movie, if you've ever been a part of maybe modern warfare, if you've even been a part of like a sports team, they kind of do this as well, this ritualistic boasting. It always ends with like a cheer, like this uproar, this cheer, this motivation. And the question is, what are they cheering for? In a ritualistic boast, what are they cheering for? Well, they're cheering for themselves. It's we've got this. We can do this. We can take this hill. We have what it takes. We're good enough. We're strong enough. We're going to win. It's inherently, a ritualistic boast is inherently boasting in one's self. It's self-boasting, and right there is the problem. That's the inherent problem with boasting. It's because we boast in ourselves. And that's what Paul's going to dig into on our text today. So we're going to look at it in the text, okay? We're going to see two problematic boasts, and then I'm going to offer a third kind of solution to boasting. So that's where we're going to be. Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 27. Follow along in your text. It was read over us, but follow along. Then, after talking about justification by faith, Paul says, then, what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Let's pause there. Those two verses sound a bit like a rehashing of what we talked about last week in our justification by faith sermon. No one, he says, no one is justified by works of the law. Rather, we are justified by faith. So that sounds like a rehashing of the doctrine of justification, but I want you to note that he starts verse 27 by saying, our boasting is excluded. Our boasting is excluded. So here's where I want to address what I think is the first unhealthy way that Paul's pointing out that we boast. What kind of boasting is excluded? Well, I think the boasting that is excluded is when we boast in achievements. When we boast in our achievement. When we boast, he says, our works, our law keeping, that is our accomplishments, our achievement. Paul is saying, if your motto is, I've got this, then that's the improper boast. The boast of the heart should not be, I've got this. I've got what it takes. And this is the problem that Paul is pointing out that's in every single human heart. See, here's what we do. We look at something in ourselves or around ourselves. We look at something. You look at your beauty and your physical appearance. Or you look at your intelligence, your smarts, okay? Or you look at your talent, like what you're good at, what you are successful in. You look at your accomplishments. Maybe that's in work. Maybe that's in school. Maybe that's in family and relationships, some sort of accomplishment. And you look at that thing, any good thing about yourself, and you say, I did that. I did it. You take credit for it. You see it as your achievement. And Paul is saying that kind of boasting is excluded. It's excluded for those who have been justified by faith. If you've been justified by faith, nothing that you did, but by the faith that you have in what Christ has done, then it excludes any boasting in any achievement. All of those things, your looks, your smarts, your achievements, all of the things, they are actually gifts from God, but we take credit for them. And that is the very nature of boasting in the human heart. It's the nature of boasting. Every single human being boasts. I mean, this is the truth. You can't get away from it. We all boast in something. We look at something and we boast in it. And when you do that, when you look at that thing and you say, look at that, that's why I'm valuable. That thing is why I'm worthy. That thing is why I'm great. What you're in essence saying is that's the thing that justifies me. And we talked about that last week. The justification is only by faith, not by works. And so if you say, well, that's the thing that justifies me. Being a good mom is what justifies me. Being a successful businessman is what justifies me. Being good at school or at sports or fill in the blank. If something other than Christ is the thing that justifies your existence, well, you're straight back to the law, like we talked about last week. By your achievements, no one is justified. Don't you see? It's boasting. I'm a good parent. Just look at my kids. I'm a good husband. Just look at my marriage. I'm a good person. Just look at my moral record. Right? I'm a good Christian. Just look at my Bible reading plan. I'm checking off every box every day. We can boast in our spiritual disciplines. Oh, this goes deep, my friends. That's boasting that ought to be excluded. That's what Paul says. If you believe in justification by faith, boasting like that is excluded. Now here's the other piece of boasting that you just need to understand. In every boast, there's actually something going on the shadow of that boast. There's like the main boast, we've got this, we're awesome, we're gonna take the hill. There's that boast, but then with every boast, there becomes this backside, which is a taunt. Right? There's this boast, but in essence, there's always a taunt associated with the boast. Again, back to the origin idea of boasting in ancient warfare. It's, we're going to dominate. We're stronger than they are. We're going to destroy them. They're weak. And you can see how boasting can slowly become not just about us and why we're great, but about them and why they're the problem. There's a taunt that comes along with boasting. It's not only that we boast in one's self, we also then taunt our enemies. So this happens, okay? This happens with sports teams all the time, okay? I played lacrosse in high school. That's where I peaked physically. Okay, so I played sports in high school and our coach was really good at this ritualistic boasting. Like my lacrosse coach in high school was really good at this because he was like, we are going to crush them in next week's game. Like I remember coach coming in and we're just like scared of him, but a little bit in awe of him. We're going to crush them. They are no match for our defense. Our attack is far better than their attack. We're going to wipe the floor with those guys. But I went to public school, so I can't actually say what he said. Okay. That would be inappropriate in this context, but I mean, he would fire us up. And the way that he would do that was he would taunt. He would taunt the opposition. He would tear them down. And so this kind of boasting and achievement, it creates all kinds of divisions. It creates all kinds of tensions and breakdowns. It creates conflict and ultimately relational destruction in the human race. Think about it, okay? If your ultimate boast is in your work ethic, like how hard a worker you are, then you will have to disdain and feel superior to people who you think of as lazy. It's like the shadow of that boast. Work ethic, we would all say, is a good thing. But you'll quickly start to taunt anyone who you feel misses that mark. If your ultimate boast is in what a good parent you are, how you lovingly discipline your children, how you correct, how you're raising your kids, if that's your ultimate boast, then you will disdain people who let their children wild out in Target, right? You know that guy who I'm talking about? Some of you are that guy, okay? I love you, all right? But if you disapprove of the way that they parent, you'll taunt them, even if it's just in your brain, in your mind. I'm serious. If your ultimate boast is in, here's the craziest one, how spiritual you are. If your ultimate boast is in how good your doctrine is, how spiritual you are, how disciplined you are in your habits, if that happens, then you will despise those who are in a different theological camp than you, or who are less disciplined than you, or are, God help us, more immature than you. You'll boast in your maturity, even though you once were immature yourself. See, this, the essence of pride, and that's what boasting is. It's pride. The essence of pride in any area, sports, academics, parenting, business, success, even religion. The essence of pride is competition. Many of you love C.S. Lewis. This is Mere Christianity. If you haven't read Mere Christianity, it's like the C.S. Lewis book that you should read. But he has a whole chapter on pride, and he says this better than anybody else. So I'm just going to read this. Mere Christianity, this is where he talks about it on page 122. I'll put it up here too, okay? Pride gets no pleasure out of having something, only out of having more of it than the next man. We say that people are proud of being rich or clever or good looking, but they are not. They are proud of being richer or cleverer or better looking than others. If everyone else became equally rich or clever or good looking, there would be nothing to be proud about. It is the comparison that makes you proud. The pleasure of being above the rest. So this is why, friends, boasting is so dangerous. It can be so toxic. I mean, think of it this way, okay? I see some Broncos stuff, okay? It doesn't matter for some Broncos fans whether the team is good or not. Some people don't really even care whether the team is that good or that bad, only that we are better than the Raiders, right? Yeah. As long as we beat them, that's fine, all right? Okay, Nuggets started this week. Nugget fans, they want to win a championship, but we want to crush the Lakers. I see you, fan, okay? Right? Elder under discipline, church discipline, Lakers fan, okay? Okay, Avs fans in here, who cares? As long as we beat the Red Wings, right? That's what we're about. We're about being better than someone else, not necessarily even winning. It's just the nature of our boasts, of our taunts. And we should obviously all be Rockies fans, right? Because Jesus said the last should be first, right? So, yes. Y'all, boasting sustains itself with comparison. Did you hear that? Boasting sustains itself with comparison. You see that guy at work who got that promotion instead of you, and you have to, if you're boasting in your heart, you have to think, yeah, but I bet I'm a better dad than that guy. It's boasting. You see that mom with her perfect Instagram picture of her kids, right? Perfect kids, perfect clothes, perfectly whitened teeth, perfect little HGTV house. You see that and you think, I bet she's got a terrible marriage. It's boasting. Come on, you do this. I mean, be real. You do this, because here's why I know you do this. Because I do this. Want to know how insidious it is for me as a pastor? I often find my own mind, I have to fight against this because I'll see other pastors who I'm jealous of. Because they're better preachers than I am, or they have a bigger church, or they're more successful. And I will catch myself thinking, but I'm better at X, I'm better at Y, I'm better at Z. They probably don't know everybody's name. They probably don't really love people. Y'all, it's because often my justification slips into what I do. It slips from faith in Christ, and it becomes about me. And I have to put down others doing what I do in order to make myself feel good. Oh, what darkness lies within each one of us. This is boasting. It's excluded. That's what Paul says. It is excluded from gospel believing people. It is incongruent with justification by faith. That's boasting an achievement. There's a second one though, okay? In verses 29 and 30. So look down at your text again, verse 29. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes. Of Gentiles also, since God is one who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Now, if that's confusing because we're back to the Jew-Gentile thing again, I get it. Let me explain, okay? This theme keeps coming up in Romans, but it's actually connected to verses 27 and 28. See, I think this is the second type of boasting that Paul is saying is incongruent with those who are justified by faith. And so I'll say it like this. He excludes boasting in identity. You can boast in your achievements, and you can boast in your identity. So let's start with the cultural context of this first century Roman writing, okay? Paul is probably writing the letter to the Romans around 56 AD. So the year 56, that's probably when Paul's writing. And there's this issue that is showing up in the church in Rome that he is specifically addressing in this letter. So here's what we know. We know that the church in Rome, maybe better than any other church in the ancient Near East, was very mixed with Jewish believers in Jesus and Gentile believers in Jesus. It was a very mixed group. And we know that because in 49 AD, so about 7 years before Paul is writing these words, the Roman Emperor Claudius had expelled all of the Jews from Rome. He expelled all the Jews from Rome, which included the Jewish Christians. Jewish Christians were expelled as well. And this is a well-documented event. I'm not making this up, okay? In both biblical and Roman historical sources. And if you want to see it in the Bible, read Acts 18 verses 1 and 2. And that will tell you about the Jews being expelled from Rome at this time. So what happened was suddenly in this church, all of the Jewish believers are gone. They've all been kicked out of the city, and the church only at that point then has Gentile Christians, which was very unusual at the time, to have a church only made up of Gentile Christians. Well, about 5 years after they are expelled from Rome, all of those Jews, including the Jews who had converted to Christianity, are welcomed back into Rome. So 5 years later, they come back, and Paul is writing this letter right after they return, about a year or two after their return. And so when the Jewish Christians did return to Rome, they go back to their church, and they find a church that had become very non-Jewish in custom and practice. You can imagine this, right? There were stylistic differences between Jews and Greeks. There were cultural differences between the two. There were political differences. And the Jewish Christians, when they returned, it started causing some friction and tension in the Roman church. I mean, imagine with me, like before the expulsion of the Jews, the Jewish Christians were the leaders in the church. They were the primary leaders of that church, but then they leave, and for 5 years, the Gentiles take over. They take charge. And so now they return to a very different church than they had left. The church is now doing Gentile music, right? With Gentile instruments. The pastor and the staff are all wearing Gentile styles with their Gentile sneakers and their Gentile animal shirts. Okay? They got potlucks out in the lobby after service, and all the potlucks are serving Gentile foods. Hot dogs? That's not kosher, right? The youth group, all these youth are running around and they're saying Gentile slang, 6'7". Like nobody knows what they're saying. There, I see him. I got a witness over there. I think it's a tongue, man. So, y'all, Paul is writing to a Roman church that was divided. It was divided. People are disagreeing about how to follow Jesus, and they're boasting in their ethnic identities. They're proud of being Jewish. They're proud of being Roman, and it's infiltrating the church. That's what Paul is addressing. And it doesn't take us too long to start to apply that then to us, right? To our context. We too can boast in our ethnic identities. Right? Like, I mean, for many, their ethnic identity becomes a way of distinguishing themselves above others. This happens all the time. Jews in that day took pride in their Jewishness. We do the same thing. We can often take pride in our Americanness, our whiteness, our blackness, our Asianness, our Latinoness. And that kind of boasting has a shadow side. Like, it's okay to be proud of who you are, but there's this shadow side of taunts that comes with that boasting that can show up in forms of racism and feelings of superiority and even xenophobia. I'm not just saying racial here. I mean, put whatever identity you want in here. Their ethnic identity, that distinctive, is ultimate in their identity, and it can lead to boasting. And again, I'm saying this, there's nothing wrong with enjoying and celebrating different ethnicities. But when it's your ultimate boast, this is who I am, then it becomes where you find your justification. And Paul says, no, that's excluded. But it's not just ethnic. It's not just racial. Gosh, people define their identity in all kinds of ways today. People define their identity based on their political persuasion. So I love some of y'all, but you find your total identity in your Republicanness, or in your Democratness, or in your wishy-washy in the middleness, like whatever you want. No one's really centrist, all right? We can fight about that later, but that's an identity. That's an identity. People base their identity on socioeconomics. I'm rich. I have a certain level of wealth. No, I'm not like those snooty rich people. I'm middle class. Hardworking backbone of America. Well, I'm not even like that. I'm in poverty. You can actually have a theology and an identity based around how little you have. And I'm just saying, if your identity is rooted there, you're going to boast in it. Your identity can be in all sorts of things. How you were brought up, what part of the country you live in, what religion you are, what denomination in the religion that you are, your sexual identity, your gender identity, all kinds of crazy things are being added to the list of identities. And if any of these are where you find your boast, if you are boasting in them, Paul says you're back to self-justification. And that is antithetical to the gospel message. Achievement justification, identity justification, you're leaving the gospel of justification by faith. And don't you see this is in every single one of us? Like, this shows up in each and every one of us. We are drawn to boasting in all kinds of things. The human heart will boast. It just will. It's built for it. It will take something and it will say, that's mine. That's why I'm worthy. That's why I'm justified. Boasting, friends, is a sickness. And we can't really get out of it. Now, here's what I want to do. I want us to quickly read verse 31, okay? Because Paul mentions something that I don't have time to go into today because he's going to cover it in full down the road. But look at verse 31, last verse of chapter 3. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. Now, Paul's going to like dedicate a whole chapter to this in the future, so I'm okay skipping over this a little bit. But Paul adds, after he says, don't boast in achievement and don't boast in your identity, he adds, hey, don't interpret this as me saying that just because we're under the gospel, we should just throw the law out. That's essentially what he's saying. And like I said last week, the law is good and it still has purpose for us. It is an important thing, but he's circling all the way back to what he already said. You can't boast in your law keeping. Okay, you shouldn't jettison the law. You don't give up on the law. The law does what it does very well, but you can't be saved by this. So don't mistake Paul saying, I'm not into the law. He is into the law just in its right place, in its right function. We need to see the law properly. More on that in coming weeks. Here's what I want to do. I want to move to my last point that I think will help us understand this boasting thing correctly. So, if it is in our human nature to boast, like if all of us are just kind of wired to do this, then the question is, what is the solution? Because Paul just said it's excluded. That boasting is excluded. So what's the solution for us? Like, are we supposed to just suppress all boasting? Like just push it down? Are we supposed to stop, like keep fighting and keep repenting of boasting and just like kind of get boasting out of our lives like it's a sin? Friends, I don't think that's biblically supported. In fact, I would offer that to try and do that would be an exercise in futility because you might start boasting in how well you suppressed your boasting. That's called Pharisaism. Really, I mean, it'll sneak in, man. We'll find a way to boast, even in our goodness. So friends, I want to offer that the solution is to replace our boasting in the wrong things with a boast in the right thing. I think we need to replace our boasting, with a better boasting. Perhaps the most famous Old Testament passage in the Bible on boasting is Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Let me read these verses. They're up on the screen. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. See, that passage does give us the negative of boasting, right? He says, don't boast in wisdom or in might or in riches. Like, don't boast in those achievements. But then it gives us like the positive swing of it. Let him who boasts. So it's like he's assuming that you're going to boast. Let him who boasts boast that he understands and knows the Lord. So the prophet Jeremiah says this, and then many centuries later, Paul picks up on this in Galatians chapter 6. You might know this one as well. I'll put it up. But far be it from me to boast, except, there's the exception, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world, for neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And that's, again, this is Paul rehashing what Jeremiah said, what we see through the whole scriptures. He says, stop boasting in Jewishness, in circumcision, or Gentileness, or uncircumcision. Don't boast in those identities. That's referring to identity again. Boast instead in the cross of Jesus Christ. So while boasting in achievement and in identity is excluded, Paul will say, we are absolutely called to godly boasting, a better boasting. And what Paul is saying here is that there's only one thing. There's only one thing to boast in. Nothing else comes even close. Friends, we are called to boast in Christ alone. boast in Christ alone. Ultimately, the heart of your faith is what you boast in. To boast is to joyfully exult, to have high confidence in something. And Paul's been like, you can try to have that in yourself, but it'll fail you. But if you boast in Christ, well, that's a boast that will never fail. See, Paul's proposing a humble confidence in this, which again feels like a juxtaposition of ideas, but follow me. Boasting means that you're confident. You are confident. That's why all the way back to Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Those are confident words. You don't need to be ashamed of Jesus. You don't need to be ashamed of your Bible. You don't need to be ashamed of the truth. You don't have to be ashamed. You should be confident. But then boasting also means that you're humble in that confidence. Paul says, boast in Christ. Don't boast in yourself, in your achievement or your identity. The humble part, the humility part is there's no room for the sinner completely saved by grace to boast in anything except for Christ alone. You neither earned your salvation, nor do you deserve your salvation. It was a free gift of God that no one may boast. Paul is saying, get rid of that pride in yourself. But don't get rid of the pride in Christ. You be proud of him. Be proud of Jesus. Be proud of the cross. That's humble confidence. Confidence in the power of Jesus, humility in knowing that you're no better than anyone else. It's the proper boast. So what does this look like then, as we wrap up? What does it look like to boast in Christ alone? Well, it's really fascinating as you study the idea of boasting in the New and Old Testament, because the word for boast in the Hebrew, so in Jeremiah 9, the Hebrew word that is translated boast is the word hallel. Hallel means to praise or to boast. And it's where we get our English word hallelujah. So every time you're saying hallelujah, you're saying, I boast in Yahweh. Hallel Yahweh, hallelujah. You can see how that plays. I boast, I praise God. I praise Yahweh. I boast in him. That's what you're saying every time you sing that word. That's why we sing that all the time. That's why we sing that in a number of songs, hymns, spiritual songs. We sing hallelujah because we're praising God. We're boasting in God. And we sing that, listen, not to just like whip ourselves into some sort of emotional fervor. It's not just about like to get you to feel all the feels. And sometimes it does, right? That song we sang last week, hallelujah. Remember that thing? I love that song. It fills me up. I want to sing it more. It's a boast. That's why. It's what you were created to do. It's the right boast. And when you understand boasting correctly, like it's talked about in the Bible, it's not just a song, friends. It's a war cry. When we boast in Christ, it's a battle cry. It's meant to stir us up to charge the field, to take on the enemy, to move us forward in the battle. It's meant to stir us up to rush the field. Not because we've got this. Not because we're so great. Not because we can do it. No, it's because God's got this. God is so great. He will do it. We don't boast in how talented or beautiful we are. We don't boast in how much we know, how smart we are. We don't boast in how much money we make, what kind of car we drive, how big our house is, what kind of mountain adventures we can go on. Goodness gracious, we don't even boast in how holy we are. We don't boast in how long we've been going to church. We don't boast in how much money we give in the plate. We don't boast in how many people we've shared the gospel with. We boast in Christ alone. And I'm telling you, if you boast like that, that boast becomes a taunt. The boast becomes a taunt. And here's where it taunts. It taunts at every other boast that competes in your heart. It taunts at your boasting of achievement. Oh, you made that much money? Well, look at my Christ. Oh, you got that score on your SAT? Oh, look at my Jesus. When we boast in Christ alone, it puts to shame, it taunts achievement boasting. It puts to shame and taunts identity boasting. Our worship is a declaration of war. So friends, this is why we do this, actually. This is why we sing. This is why we praise. This is why we worship, because it's a ritualistic boast in He who is far better. And so as the old song says, I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. May God add blessing to the preaching of His word. Let's pray. Father, these kinds of words, they are meant to instruct us, yes. They are meant to convict us, yes. Like when Paul is saying, hey, that kind of boasting is excluded, he's meaning to help reveal something in us that is off kilter, that is out of alignment, that isn't the way it should be. And yet, Lord, when I hear these words from your servant Paul, it also stirs my heart to want to boast in you all the more. And so, Lord, as we turn from preaching your word to responding together, I pray that we would ritualistically boast in Christ alone today. As we lift our voices, as we lift our arms, as we fall to our knees, as we sing with our hearts, Lord, I pray that behind all of that would be a boast to who you are and how good you are, and a taunt to the things that hold us back from that. So Lord, would you fill us with your Holy Spirit? Would you fill this room with your Spirit? Would you help us to keep first things first and to boast in Christ alone? I pray for that, Father. I pray for that this morning for our church. And Lord, I pray these things in the name of Jesus and by the power of your Holy Spirit.